From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. I'm looking at my producer. Shock therapy, they call this, I think, isn't it? Early in the morning when you see something that's out of kilter.
Looking at us would be shocking.
Well, he says he's got a girlfriend. You guys want to believe or not?
You got the patch fixed? You got the hole fixed?
Inflatables. Blake, it's your turn in the barrel, buddy.
Silence. Right,
silence. He won't talk back. That's good. He thinks he's talking back, but he's not. I can't hear a thing he's saying. So
everybody played with my buttons back here and
played with too much.
Too much information.
I said she's real. She just goes to a different school. You guys have never met her.
Yes, I have. I've got pictures of her too.
You better not. Dude, that's fighting words right there.
You don't fight, do you?
I fight.
Are you mean?
I just never had the heart to beat your ass.
Remember that other producer we had a couple weeks ago? He made coffee, brought in donuts.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that all about?
Yeah, he's a good producer.
Yeah, I had the earphones plugged in, ready to go when we got here.
That's basically your plastic girlfriend, because I know he doesn't exist.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am surrounded with fishermen and liars today, and it's up to you, the listening public out here, to decipher if these stories are true. So I just wanted to give you, it's like the disclaimer that you have to read before you take a pill. So this is what this show is going to be based on. It's fishing reports of huge fish, not just average fish, huge fish. So what the hey? I come in mourning, though, you guys. I've went to the duck club, and the snow geese have eaten, second planting, have eaten every blade of corn that's basically come up.
Oh, my gosh.
And they are in there by the... Well, they were by the thousands. Now they're down to the hundreds. I think they're being eliminated. But
they ate everything.
No. Don't look at me. But they've got that bird flu, and they don't have the strength to go back north. So they're just hopping over the fence over to our duck club. And we planted 40 acres. They ate 35 acres of it or so. And so I replanted it in my wisdom. They eat the other. They'd come up too.
No.
So. It's just crazy. My neighbor's replanting over there.
Are you going to do a third?
It's getting late, but I probably will have to.
That's getting expensive.
I don't want to.
Isn't that getting a little expensive?
Oh, my. Looks like the national debt, you know.
Would one of those old propane guns we used to use for running coyotes out work?
Well, yeah, it'll work, but then they just go to your neighbor. I feel guilty, you know. I mean, if you run them over to your neighbor, and then he gets the brunt of it, and then he puts up a propane gun, and it runs them over to the other neighbor. So everybody, you know, it's just a big, vicious circle. You know, the reality of it is they have just let them get completely out of control. You know, it's just way, there's millions of them. They're still shooting them up in Saskatchewan, you know. Their season's still open up there. It's crazy times.
Have you ever seen them here this late?
Never, ever. Now, we always had what we call the sickos that would kind of hang around, you know, and then a coyote, you'd have 20, and then next day you'd have 18 owls, and the coyotes would get them. But I've never seen this many this late.
Wow, crazy.
And it's just bizarre. And you know what's weird about it is that little tender shoot comes up out of the ground. It must taste, you know, like a Big Mac to them or something, because they just go road to road, or they just walk right down. It's like they're lined up, and they walk down and pull all that corn out of the ground.
Bummer.
Just as it gets about an inch or less tall. So, other than bad luck, I am not having any at all on the deal. And of course, planter broke and da da da, and then the idiot running it, which was me, and just stupid. I just, but maybe next year is what we always say in the game.
Gosh.
Maybe next year in the deal. So what the hey, guys? I've been kicking around doing radio for 37 years, and I've never heard such fishing reports as I have heard. Well, last year I thought was just clear off the chart. This year is even better. What's going on?
Man, I mean, it's all good right now. Yeah, well, most everything is done spawning, and the fish have backed out, and they got the feed bag on, and oh my gosh, it's just, you know. Well, and Greg's here. He was down at Truman yesterday. He's got an unbelievable story, but I was talking.
Some of it's true.
There you go. That's the same pictures he showed me 2 years ago, but he forgot to change the date on. But what the heck?
I was talking to Toby Lewandowski. I have a hard time pronouncing.
And he from Mayetta, Kansas.
Is it Mayetta? He lives out by Topeka now.
Oh, well, it's Mayetta.
But him and talked to Brian Andreka, the Kansas Angling Experience, and it's just crazy good. The walleye are really, really good right now. The catfish, they're on fire. What else? The crappie. A lot of walleye. A lot of saugers, saw guys. It's time to be out there for sure. The walleye is what has got me intrigued right now. You know, this is the best time of year to fish for walleye.
They're killing them on Truman right now.
I know, right?
Everybody is. Yeah. It don't make a difference where you go. Milford, Clinton, Kansas, Missouri, Mazingo, up Smithville. Some buddies of mine went up there the other day. It's absolutely unbelievable. I've never heard such fishing reports.
Have you heard of a steel shad?
Not to my brief and limited knowledge.
It's a blade bait. And Toby from Absolute Fishing Guides, he was the one telling me about this. He just swears up and down by this. It's a blade bait. It's a metal bait. Looks kind of like a shad. And he just swears by this bait. He catches every species of fish that swims with this thing. And he's using those right now. And I mean, just absolutely hammering everything. I mean, crappie, walleye, the saugers, white bass, hybrids, largemouth bass, you name it, he's catching it on it. That's about the only thing he'll use right now is this steel shad. He said if it's cloudy, they've got a yellow with blue in it, and he said that's killer. And if it's sunny, blue and silver. And he likes a 3/8 ounce steel shad. I think he said he gets it at Cabela's, but I looked it up online. It doesn't look like they're hard to buy, but I hadn't heard of it before. But you better believe I'm going to get some.
Oh, yeah. Let's try it.
Yeah.
That looks like the old Gay Blade.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it looks like. A little bit bigger, but yeah.
Gay Blade?
It looks like a Gay Blade. There's the old Gay Blade had three different holes on top.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It was kind of a jigging.
But he doesn't vertical jig it. He casts it and retrieves it. These fish are suspended. He's catching fish in 20 foot of water. But they're only down 6 to 8 feet. Sometimes as shallow as 4 feet. So he's casting to them and just retrieving. He said, you want to move that just where you'll feel it vibrating. And then you know you got the right speed going. But need to add that to our arsenal.
Evidently. Every year it seems like there's some bait that you go, oh, my, you got to go get it.
Right.
I think they're hooking the fishermen more than the fish are being hooked. You know?
Well, that's true.
I don't know. You know, we got to go and do it, you know. Who'd ever thought we'd have pink fishing lures in a tackle?
Yeah, what does that resemble out in the wild? Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had to get them bubble gum. Everybody told me it was good, so I went and bought some. Never caught a fish on them, but I had them.
I have killed a walleye on bubble gum.
Really?
Absolutely.
And crappie.
I love it. It's hard to find a bubble gum lure.
Yeah, and crappie. I've caught a lot of crappie on that color. Yeah.
You know, but still, the base is chartreuse, isn't it?
Not in that paint, that bubble
well,
gum?
Well, I mean, no, I'm talking about
rubber baits, yes.
I mean,
got to have it, yeah.
And we've talked about this over the years. Nothing in the water is chartreuse.
No, but we don't know, you know, what fish see either. It might not appear chartreuse to them. And there's been studies on how different colors change as you get deeper into the water column and with less light, those colors look different than what we see. So that, I think, would explain some of it as well.
I got a buddy taking off. They're going down to Mississippi to catch 4-pound crappie.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Really?
The lake that you...
Grenada?
Grenada. That's it.
You know, I'm told that's a weird lake. Like, the whole lake's like 6 feet deep.
Yeah, it's stump to stump to stump.
Lot of cypress and cypress knees.
Yeah,
and,
well, the guys that I know that have gone down there said about the only way they catch them is with them dang spider rig things.
Mm-hmm.
No thanks.
But
no thanks.
Me neither.
Yeah, neither.
Right.
Live bait and spider rigging is out for me. I will not troll either.
Oh,
I will.
It's
not
a good
troll.
Time. Good time of year.
I understand that, but I'm there to fish. I'm not there to catch. You know, live bait. I won't do that. You know, and I'll go home empty before I use live bait. I'm just bullheaded and stupid. That's all.
I saw three guys troll yesterday. Three boats troll yesterday, and out of the three boats, they might have had two white bass. Three boats.
Wow. That's not good.
That's not good.
No.
I tell you, another lake that's hot. I've never read such fishing. It was Grand Lake.
Boy, I tell you, it is the crappie down there.
Oh,
crappie
my.
And white bass. And they got some huge white bass.
Oh, huge.
Did you see Hayden's big fish?
Yeah, Hayden Williams. You know, Jeff Williams, a buddy of ours, Team Catfish, and he's just an entrepreneur and great guy. Yeah, his son has a guide service down there, Hayden Williams. Mm. And boy, if you want to get on with a good guy, and he does everything. I mean, he'll take you out bow fishing, carp,
whatever.
I mean, it doesn't matter, spoonbill.
They got year-round spoonbill.
Yeah, they do.
He had a 3-pound, what was
three,
it?
3-2.
Yeah.
His biggest.
Biggest out of Grand Lake. He's got a picture of it with a soda can in its mouth.
Wow. I didn't see that picture.
And that's a post-spawn fish. So, you know, if you'd have caught that pre-spawn, whoa, I mean, that's 3.5 pounds, 3¾-pound fish.
Or better.
Yeah.
Let's weigh our thumb on that one.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
That's a big fish.
Isn't that I was looking at those 4-pound crappie they catch out of that Grenada. They don't look like crappie.
I know, right?
Oh.
It's just a weird-looking fish. You know, you just go, wow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Awesome.
You would be dead, Tobin.
I'd have
kill
a heart
you.
Attack. I would absolutely.
I saw the results of one of the tournaments they had down there, and it was amazing how many over three
weighed
in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You just can't make it. You know, we giggle about never weigh a 2-pound crappie. Well, a lot of 3-pound crappie just weighed in. You know, you go, what the hey, you know.
Let's see, there was a 4-3-2 or something a couple of years ago, and that was the heaviest one that had ever been weighed in a tournament.
Tobin would die. It would be the end of the deal. Hey, just speaking of dying, here's the thing. Here's the new business I want you guys to invest in. I've been reading about this. This has got merit. 40 people were done this way last year on the West Coast. Which should tell you something. They put you in a compost pile. Seriously.
I've already got compost on the inside of me.
They take your body and put it in a compost pile until the meat falls off your bones. Then they dig it up, grind your bones, and send the ashes to your loved ones.
What?
So you save energy. It saves energy. You don't have the burial thing. That 40 people got composted last year.
They've got some deal where you take your ashes and it comes with a tree, and you it comes with a tree and you plant the ashes with the tree and
this is America, isn't it great?
Hey, I got to do a couple of quick shout outs. Matt Chapman, Brett Chapman's son, just won the Toyota Series Southern Division Strike King Co-Angler of the Year.
That's awesome.
That's the first year he's been on it.
How about that?
Secondly, some old hack rider, Frazee, do you know him?
I've heard of him. He used to ride for the guy.
He just won three awards with the Outdoor Sports Writers of the United States for three of his articles.
He bribed somebody.
One of them was an article about taking his granddaughter out for her first fishing trip when she was real young.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Great guy.
Well-deserved.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Can't we say something derogatory about him? We got to say great guy about him. Can't come up, dig up some dirt.
You said there'd be some lies today.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, what the hey. Who we got on for the guest?
Dion Hipton is going to be with us today. I mean, you talk about a legend in bass fishing. Yes. He is it. And good guy, super guy.
But great stories.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Can't wait.
And I think some of them are true, though. That's the heck of that.
I know, yeah, right. Yeah. Deal.
Hey, we are brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. If you've not been to the website, you're the last person in the United States of America has not been there, I think. If you need an outbuilding, which who doesn't, maybe you need a new garage, maybe you need a new place to put your John Deere tractor or your red tractor or whatever, or your whatever you want to store, these people are the best. There is none, no better. And they have master carpenters. They use nothing but the first-rate material. Go to their website, take a look at it. If you don't see what they like, they'll help you design one. These are the greatest guys I've ever known in my life, and I mean this from my heart. They are just wonderful, wonderful humans. KingCityLumber.com. Talk to Marty and Monty Tungst. They will take care of you. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoor, and I'm basking in the aura of Greg Thompson and Mark Tobine. Tobine Lawn and Service, the greatest lawn person in the world. Did you know that?
Yes.
You told me that. You hate crabgrass, don't you?
I do, and I hate moles.
Moles. How about bugs? Do you hate
grubs,
bugs?
I hate grubs.
Grubs? You
yes.
hate grubs?
Yes.
Anything else in your life you hate? I mean, let's just vent right now.
I hate night crawlers.
Night crawlers.
Yeah.
Because they disrupt the soil.
Yeah. They're casting surface, and it's like walking on golf balls. I hate that. I hate most weeds.
Huh. Well, I'll be darned. How about flowers? You into flowers? You hate flowers?
I like flowers.
You like flowers.
Yeah. I hate how fast the grass grows.
Yeah, I got off my mower and looked back in the front yard, and I went, ah, man, I can go back and do this again.
I know.
It just looks that fast.
I know.
It's crazy.
I hate it. Yes.
I don't know how many tanks of gas I've already went through that lawnmower with.
Yeah. You know? I hate that too, the price of gas.
$20, you know, to fill up the lawnmower now.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus whiz, you know. Oh, well. Hey, we are brought to you by Sure Ag. And everybody went, who? Sure Ag. They're out of Savannah, Osborne, Four City, Missouri. These are all Savannah, Missouri, Osborne, Missouri, and Four City, Missouri. My good friend, and I mean this in my heart, Rich Mendenhall, acquired this. This is a spinoff of the old Sure Grow Company. I have been their client now for 15, 16, 17, 18 years. I don't know how many years. You get old, you forget about time. These are the most professional people. You know, I get up the other morning, and I'm watching Ag Talk, and I love watching Ag Talk. I don't know why, but I just do. And I know what these farmers are up against. And the guy said on that Ag Talk show, he said, you know what? Right now, you used to make every acre count. Now we got to make every foot count.
Wow.
He said, it is the toughest. The input cost is just astronomical. So I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, if you're in business, and you which farming is a big business, you would hire professionals to do your spraying and your fertilizer. Well, that's where these guys come in. You know, these guys, the three managers got 115 years experience applying and applicating.
Wow. Well, that's nice to have on your side.
Oh, and they take it personal. You can't believe how sincere and dedicated these guys are. I just love them. So for you guys out here, and we have a lot of farmers listening to this show, if you need every foot to count, which you do right now, Sure Ag. Again, they're located at Savannah, Osborne, and Four City, Missouri, and they will take it to heart. They'll take it personal. They'll treat your farm like they own it, like you own it, or they own it, and just be straight up with them, and they'll stand behind you. Because sometimes, you've been in this business, Mark, sometimes chemicals just, for some reason, don't work.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why, and I don't think the people that make them know why. But every once in a while, you have to retreat. And these guys here will do whatever it takes to keep you as a customer and earn your business. So, again, Sure Ag, Rich Mendenhall, Savannah, Osborne, Four City. Love these guys. I don't do justice for their commercial. That's how good they are. None of the darn things. So what the hey?
Have you they know. Got a white goose repellent?
I wish they did. I think a nuclear bomb would be better.
Yeah,
I've never seen it like this. Normally the geese would have been out of here in March. here it is, almost June.
Yeah, right. And still got that many. Wow, that's great. Yeah, we were talking about the big crappie down at Grenada. The Crappie Master tournament that was held earlier this year. Joey Johnson, he became the first angler in Crappie Master's history to weigh in a 4-pound crappie. Now, can you imagine bringing a 4-pound crappie to the scale? I mean, you know that you've got that tournament won, right? You got to just be on cloud nine. Well, unfortunately, within an hour, four more fish over 4 pounds got weighed in.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I know, right? The first day leader had 22 pounds, 77 ounces. That's on 7 fish. That's over a 3-pound average. That's crazy. But anyway, Bruce and Matthew Rogers, our friend Matthew Rogers, he's been on our show before. They were the winners. And 44 pounds over 2 days, 14 fish with a 3.19-pound average.
That'd be a great average for bass tournament.
I know, right? Yeah, crazy. Big fish.
I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Stuff. You know, I'd have to be standard right there. And I'm sure their scales are certified, but Jesus.
But Greg, he went to Truman yesterday. And, boy, you were telling me a story about the Life Scope and hybrids. That just really surprises me and fascinates me. Talk about that.
Okay, so first of all, I got to give an accolade to a boss that wouldn't let the people that were supposed to be on this trip off work tomorrow. And Cody Van Natten had a cancellation, and I got to take it.
Cool.
So Cody is arguably probably one of the best hybrid fishermen on Truman Lake of the Ozarks. And yesterday I was asking him questions and things, and he said the Live Scope, he said it puts out such a strong ping that it will literally run the hybrids off. And he said, to give you an idea, the day before he had a guy running Live Scope, and when he get up close to him, not only would it distort his screen, they would catch no hybrids, only whites. And when that guy would go away from them and stay away for a while, back to hybrids. I talked to two guys yesterday, and both of them told me the same thing.
Wow. I had no idea.
Well, I bet nobody else did. I mean, they're just now picking up on it, it sounds to me like.
But it's just hybrids. I mean, you...
Yeah, it didn't affect the whites.
Huh. Something to do with the lateral line?
I wonder. The pure size of the fish. I don't.
He said those hybrids don't like boat. They don't like anything. He said when he was out there by himself on the water. Well, the day before he caught the four of them caught 80 fish. They kept 67 in an hour and a half.
Hybrids.
Wow.
Hybrids and whites.
What are they running?
They had two the day before over 10. We didn't keep anything under 7.
You didn't keep anything under 7?
No, sir. Didn't have to.
I mean, how many did you catch?
I don't have any.
What's the limit?
Three? Three. Yeah. I would have to. I have no idea. Really don't.
Wow. And you were using live shad?
We were using live shad.
I'm out.
Well, that's fine. I saw 11 boats yesterday around us because somebody had posted the day before where they were catching these things. And people figured out where they were catching these things.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 boats. At 11 boats, I would go to wager, other than white bass, we boated in Cody's boat more hybrids than the entire rest of the group.
Using live bait.
So were some of them. But, I mean, some of them were using live perch. They wouldn't even, he said this time of the year, they won't eat a perch. They won't eat a perch.
Interesting.
They want shad. Period. I saw one guy was throwing a big swim bait and having a little bit of success with it. But when we got some fresh bait, we went around the corner and he threw in and got some more fresh bait. It was literally all three poles, our poles were all going down.
How fun.
Is this on a flat? Is it on 6 foot of water? Is it 20 foot of water?
21 feet of water.
21.
On a flat. There was absolutely nothing there. No rocks, no trees, no nothing but fish. And you could just see them on the scope swimming back and forth under the boat.
Now, but he's not using live scope.
No. No.
Interesting. I can't, I'm really surprised to hear that the live scope spooks hybrids.
I heard that from two guides, and they weren't next to each other when I talked to them.
Huh. Wow.
Wow. That is weird. That is beyond weird. What the hey? Well, everything's weird anymore, it seems like.
I think it's what? It lake's about either 9 or 10 foot high?
That sounds pretty good because I think that water was normally around 10 to 12 feet, and it was 21, so that would go to wage.
Did you look at water temperature? Did anybody say anything about it?
I didn't look at it, but he's got a little concrete slab that he puts by the boat ramp every day, and he keeps moving it back to see how much the water was coming up, and it actually came up from the time we left in the morning till the time we came back.
Hmm. Wow.
But it was still fairly clear. I could still see a lure foot down.
Wow. Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yeah, what the hey?
Just on a plain old flat.
Yeah.
Just on a
featureless.
Just there. There's something must, has to be.
Must be some clouds of shad or
there's
some kind
got
of
got something
there.
Going on there or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah, right.
He said there was current there, too.
Yeah.
Time to go to Truman.
Hey, have you talked to Joe Falco?
I have, actually. Uh-huh. I talked to him this week, and, yeah, they still have a few boats on hand. And, of course, Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic out there. If you have a problem, when you have a problem, not if you have a problem, because you're going to have a problem. If you have a boat, you're going to have a problem. Yeah. But no better place than Sportsman's Outfitter Marine.
Love them.
To get your boat fixed. Yeah. And
I have people come up and tell me about doing business with them.
Yeah,
and how great they are.
They're just such good people. And Joe's just as good as they
are. Where are they located?
They're out in Belton off Cass Road, just west of 49 Highway. It's the last Belton exit. But just go in there, even if to do nothing, just go in there and smell the new boat smell.
Put your nose down in the vinyl.
Yeah, I love it.
It's never more important than right now to keep your motor in tip-top shape because I've talked to 5 guides now, and they're just holding on. They can't buy motors for their boats.
Yes.
They can't find them.
Can't get parts if
they
you do get broken.
Parts.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the price of gas right now, people are going to those alternative, you know, the ethanols. Keep that out of your boat. That's Joe says that's their biggest problem that they see come in is fuel related. Mm-hmm. And those ethanols, they attract moisture. Mm-hmm. And that's really bad.
Yeah.
So stay away from that. I know the gas prices are horrible right now.
You know what we ought to do? We're only make a lot. I think we could make some money at this. Just open up a gas station and start selling $2 gas. You think that'd work?
I'm not seeing the logic here.
You don't think it'd work?
You'd sell
you'd
a
have
lot.
A lot of customers.
Yeah.
Isn't that the basis of your business is to have a lot of customers?
Well, I think it's more about making a little bit of money anyway.
Oh. Well, I never thought of that. I didn't think it all the way through again, did I? You want to make a profit.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, in Brazil, they run all ethanol down there, and a mercury motor will last about 7 months.
Oh, my gosh.
It just literally destroys them. And they make a lot of their ethanol out of vines and stuff like that. It's nasty down in there.
Yeah, what the hey. Tell you what, who we got lined up to guest?
Dion Hibden.
Dion Hibden. Ought to make a good show.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to him. Yeah. He has got some stories, I'll tell you.
I'll bet you. we got to take a little bit of a break, ladies and gentlemen. We get back here. We'll get Dion on, and we'll have a giggle. He's quite a character.
Yes, he is. Yeah, definitely.
You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm basking in the aura of Greg Thompson and Mark Tobin. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey. We'll be right back with you.
Yeah.
As much money as he makes every week, you should think he would just bow at our feet.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin, along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer and my partner in crime, Fred Ramsey. And we've also got Greg Thompson in studio with us. And joining us on the phone right now, I am so honored to be able to introduce a legend in the fishing world. In fact, his whole family are legends. His father won the Bassmaster Classic in 1988, and he followed that up with 2 Angler of the Year titles and is a member of the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. Our guest, following in his dad's footsteps, in 1988, he won the Bassmaster Classic, and the same year he followed that up by winning the FLW Forest Wood Cup. You had a better chance of getting hit by lightning.
No
kidding.
And his son, Peyton, I think in 2006, he won the Junior Bassmaster World Cup Championship. I tell you, what a fishing family they are. I'm talking about none other than Dion Hibden. Dion, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you all?
Great. So I don't even know where to start with you. What was it like for you when your dad won the Bassmaster Classic? And then you follow it up and do that. Tell me what it was like feeling that for your dad, and then how, what was it like to experience that yourself?
Well, it was pretty cool for me because I was actually in the tournament that he won.
Oh, really?
That was the first classic that I'd ever qualified for, and then for him to win, was pretty cool. It was just really special. Dad was like every other little kid's dad. He was the superhero, of my life at that point in time. He was just so much better than everybody else, I thought. And there for about 10 years, he proved it, I was actually fishing in the tournaments with him, so I got to be there and see it firsthand, and it was pretty cool. That's for sure.
What a special memory that has to be.
Yeah.
But then you follow it up and you do yourself, not only the Bassmaster Championship, and then the FLW Cup. What was that like? How did that feel? How does that feel to win something on that level?
Oh, it was pretty amazing. I've been fishing, a few years. Several years, when I finally won the classic, it was one of those deals, it was kind of a relief, to win the classic. That was the first major, I'd won of the tournaments, but it was the first, big win that I really had out on the road traveling around the country. The first one was kind of a relief. When I turned around and won the FLW championship, that was pretty cool. That one.
I'll bet.
That one was really special. They were both special. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty cool to have won both. But it was very exciting. Because everybody knew Dad was, Dad was the King Ding-a-ling. I mean, he was the man.
Yeah.
And then for me to, turn around and actually make it happen also, it was pretty special.
Well, I think you are the only father and son that have won the Bassmaster Classic, and that's just an amazing accomplishment. So congratulations to you for sure. I saw a story that you did. I got to ask you about this. This just cracked me up. You were fishing a tournament on Truman Lake. You talked your dad into fishing this tournament, and you went through a shortcut.
Uh-huh.
Do you recall this story?
Oh, yeah.
You hit a stick?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you talk
to us? crashed big time. The only major boat crash I ever had in my life, my dad was riding with me. That's not a good thing, But anyways, we were fishing in a pin reel tournament, and it was a 2-day event. And back then, I didn't get beat there on Truman very often. I fished it a lot. I fished it all the time, in my spare time, and I won a lot. And like I say, Dad had been off practicing for a classic that he had qualified for that I didn't. And I talked him into fishing this 2-day deal with me, and bigger than heck. Second day of it, we crashed. we went through a shortcut, hit a limb, and shot us out through the woods, and tore our trolling motor off, and when we come to rest, it was quite the mess.
So you hit a sycamore. Correct.
Oh, he hit a giant sycamore tree. that's what brought us to a stop. and we hit it right with the nose of the boat. When we went out through the woods, there's no steering through the trees. I mean, we were ricocheting off of stuff.
Pinball.
I couldn't drive through them, because I'd hit one and it'd send me one direction, and I hit one, and it hit me, send me another direction.
Oh.
And we started all this running about 65 miles an hour when we went out through the woods.
Whoa.
And my dad, was the safest human being in a bass boat ever. And I was too. You know, I normally was too. You know, it just, you know, I hit a floater. You know, I hit them that was floating, you know, and needless to say, we hit this giant sycamore. And, you know, my dad, I don't know if you know this or not, but had the biggest comb over ever. and we hit this sycamore, and it brought us to a dead stop. I mean, it slung me up against the steering wheel and kind of slung him out of his seat. He got set back up in his seat, and when he set back up in his seat, he looked at me, and he's like, oh, man, I'm going to kill you, you know. And, you know, I could just see it in his eyes. And this sycamore is still standing. It's right here in front of us. You know, it's still standing, and we've come to a dead halt. I mean, there's debris everywhere where we've knocked down trees and stuff. And we're sitting there. We have time to actually discuss what we were going to do. And then we heard this tree, just a big old hollow pop, you know, just poof. And I look up, and this tree's coming down. it's as wide as the boat.
Wow.
And I'm like, holy crap, that's going to get us. And we can't decide, you know, it's happened so fast. We can't decide, do we need to jump or what do we need to do, you know. And finally, it kind of started veering towards Dad's side. And he scoots over, you know, towards me, and we're just trying to get out of the way. It falls down in the water.
Wow.
Right next to the boat, and there's a wall of water, you know, 10 foot tall, comes over the side of the boat.
Oh, my.
And it just, I mean, it just whooshes us off. And I'll never forget as long as I live when it all come to rest. It looked like he was wearing his hat sideways, like a wrapper or something. And it had washed his comb over out the back of his hat. And it looked like he had hair that was clean down the middle of his back. And, you know, and when he was wet and mad, then I thought, oh, hell, I'm going to get my ass beat just like when I was 15 years old, you know. And so we're about 5 miles up the lake from where we're, you know, where we want to go. And, you know, I hit the key and shoot, big motor started, you know, everything worked. And the only problem was the steering wheel was bent, where for me trying to bend it back and, you know, try to steer through the trees. And we got it started and we got out of the woods, you know, took off down the lake. Well, at that time at Osage Bluff Marina, a buddy of mine owned it. And he says, you got a piece of rope in this boat? And I'm like, no, because the trolling motor was gone. There was no trolling motor on the front of the boat. It was just a flat spot on the front of the boat. And he says, we got to find a piece of rope. So we drove to Osage Bluff Marina at 6:30 in the morning. Well, nobody's awake. You know, there's nobody there. And he says, get out. And I said, what? He says, go find a piece of rope. And I walk around and look until I find a pontoon boat that's got about a 50-foot piece of rope tied up to it. I give them $20. Or I put $20 where their rope was at under a rock. And I stole their rope, and we go to a piece of riprap there by one of the launch ramps, and he finds a rock, you know, a rock to anchor a boat, you know, a 30-40 pounder is big enough. No, he picks one out that probably weighs 150 pounds. He says, I want that one right there. And I'm like, Dad, that one's 3 times bigger than it needs to be. He says, you screwed up this morning. He says, I'm going to make you suffer. So I get this rock and throw it up on the front deck of the boat, and we pulled to our best spot where we caught them the day before, and there was no trees around. So you couldn't just pull up to a tree and tie up. There were no trees on this particular little high spot. And so he gets the rope tied off to the rock, and I send the rock over the side, and we anchor up. And we sat there and we caught our best 5 fish.
Wow.
The first day we weighed in 5 that weighed 24. The second day we weighed in five that weighed 28.
Wow.
And caught them all because we could not move that fucking rock. That rock was down there for good, you know. And we actually tied a jug on to the rope, and we left and went fishing elsewhere. And then turned around, we'd come back, tie up the rope again. We'd catch a couple more. It was crazy.
So the first day you were in third place. And then after the accident and with that stringer, you wound up winning that tournament, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. he told me after the first day, he said, you know, he says, I came all the way from Baltimore, Maryland to fish this with you. He says, if we don't win, we're in first place. I mean, come on. And he's like, no. He says that's not good enough. And then I crashed on the way down the lake the second day.
Wow.
And better yet, and the crazy thing about it is I didn't crash my boat. I crashed his boat.
Oh, yeah. And he was really particular about his boat, was he not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his boats were, you know, it was literally like it was made of glass when Dad used them. I mean, he was very neat and tidy I messed up his boat.
I cannot get this visual out of my head of his hat on crooked and his comb over hanging past his shoulder.
He looked like a rapper, and then here's this big long string of hair, you know, that's a foot and a half long hanging down his back. You know? And you know, a comb over's a very special deal for most guys. You know, it's hard to get that pulled off, to get that all arranged up there on top of your head. It was pretty crazy.
And win the tournament. But, my goodness.
And then we won the tournament.
I hope first place was a new boat.
No, we weren't that lucky, that's for sure.
Anybody?
And, you know, we got to the launch ramp, and, you know, Mom and my wife were there and everything, and they go to back the truck in, and, I mean, and we had weighed in, you know, down on the water, you know, so they hadn't seen the boat yet. But, oh, yeah, my mom's like, what in the hell, you know? And, you know, and I'm giving Mom the cutoff sign, like, yeah, I don't want to hear about it again. Stop. You know, don't ask. I'll tell you about it tomorrow. You know, I've had my butt chewed all day long about that.
You know? We are visiting with legendary fisherman Mr. Dion Hibden. Dion, anybody that bass fishes knows or has used the Gedo bug. How did that get developed?
Well, I was, you know, we were making a lot of our own tackle. You know, Dad, what a lot of people don't realize, Dad would just as soon make tackle as fish with it. He had always been an inventor and stuff, and we were making some of our own worms and stuff at that time. And different things that we wanted. If somebody didn't produce it, you know, we would make it, you know. And you know, I had like a fifth grade school project to make something, you know, there was kids made stuff out of wood, there was kids made stuff out of paper mache, you know, but it was just, you had to make something in the wild. And I decided to make a crawdad. You know, make a lifelike looking crawdad. And so I caught a big crawdad out of the creek, you know, one that was about as big as my hand, and put it in plaster of Paris and made a crawdad out of it, you know.
Wow.
made it out of plaster of Paris, and the first one that I poured in the mold and pulled it out, Dad said, wow. Uh-huh. I can catch fish on that. And I'm like, yep, it does look good, doesn't it? You know, and so needless to say, the Gedo bug was born. You know, and then he won a BASS on it, you know, about 3 weeks later, you know. And that was, you know, in the same little single cavity mold that I had made for school. But needless to say, after that tournament was over, we started making, you know, and getting them to where we could use them. And we used them for a couple of years before anybody else got them. And then we started selling them, you know, and realized it was a way we could, you know, make a little bit of money. And Dad was trying to get going fishing on the circuit, and everything happened at a good time. That's for sure.
What is Tin Cup?
Tin Cup Mountain Whiskey. It's a whiskey company out of Colorado. It's just a real fortunate deal for us. A buddy of mine is a liquor distributor in Indiana, and this company came about. They've been around for a while, but they came up with some advertising dollars and wanted to expand into the, you know, the fishing industry and this part of the outdoor market, and I was lucky enough to be in on it. I could say one of my best friends in the whole world is a liquor distributor, and he said, "Hey, this is the right batch of people. Finally, you know, I think we can make this work." And they've been really good for us. You know, we, you know, fortunately enough, they sponsored me and Lawson and put us down the road. So, so it was a good time for us. You know, when dad passed away, I kind of got out of it there for a few years and a couple years, and this came about and got me back going, you know, got me back started, you know, excited to be in the sport again. So
is that Tin Cup, is that available in Missouri or Kansas?
Sure, absolutely. It's just not everywhere yet, and we're trying to remedy that. You know, we're working on that daily, you know, trying to get it everywhere to where, you know, you can just walk in the store and get it. But liquor's like anything else. You know, you have to advertise, and they're doing that. And like I say, the distributors, you know, for Benzo, they sponsor BASS now. You know, they're really working that angle, and it's growing. You know, cool. It's been growing good because of bass fishing. So
I didn't know bass fishermen drank any at all. I didn't have no
idea. Oh, buddy, trust me. Yeah, it's not any fun out there on most days. Yeah, it's a good thing they don't let us carry it with us.
Yeah,
you know? That's the truth.
They have to make special rules on that, you know. It's quite funny, you know. You know, everybody asks us after a hard day of fishing, you know, "Hey, you got any free samples?" I'm like, "No, drink them by 10, you know. No, I used up all my free samples by noon today, you know. But, no, it's just an opportunity to get a sponsor out of the industry. You know, everybody thinks, exactly. You know, oh, the bass fishing industry is so huge. And it is big. But it's still, there's only so much money to go around.
Exactly.
And, you know, you got to get out of the industry to get good sponsors nowadays. And like I say, that's just, this is the start, I would have to imagine.
Yeah. You know, I got to ask you this question because it's going to be asked to me when I go home today. How in the world, we're about out of time, but how can a young fella get started in this business in the bass fishing industry?
Sure, absolutely. It's probably easier now for those young guys than it's ever been. You know, just because you got high school, you know, you got, and you should take advantage of all of it. You know, you got high school teams, college teams.
Exactly.
You know, and you just got you got a lot more opportunities than you used to have. You know, now for a young man to just start, you know, that's not that easy.
Man,
you know, because
tough.
There's a bunch of them. You know, you need to take all the avenues that you have an opportunity to take, like your high school teams, your college teams, and work at that route, you know, because a lot of these sponsors are looking at those college kids, you know, and watching the college guys, you know, and you see that a lot. You know, a lot of these young pros right now are, you know, they came out of college just in the last couple of years.
Exactly.
So,
hey, we're out of radio time. We're out of radio time, and this thing goes by so quick.
Oh, my gosh. Dion,
it was just a great story, and nobody got hurt out of that deal, did they? when he got head director?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Just pride.
No,
that's the good part.
Just dad comb over.
Well, I haven't even got to ask you about your favorite baits or anything else. We've got to have you back on.
You got someday if you can. Sure. We'd appreciate it. And we thank you more than you'll probably ever know.
An honor, my friend. An honor to talk to you.
It really, really is. So have a good day, kid.
Call anytime.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Dion.
Best of luck to you. All right.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bye.
What a great guy. Good story. Good crash. Yes, there is a good crash. That's a good crash story, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if they would have won the tournament if that hadn't happened.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe it was meant to be. I don't know. You know, you never know on the day. We're about out of time. Hey, we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet. For you humans out there, they are trickling in. The 22s, they're hard to come up with. And the Silverado pickups, better go up there and check them out. They got a blue one up here, Mark.
I've got an appointment with them on Tuesday.
Tuesday, you're going to be up there.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I just go out and hang out with those people because they're back-end people, are the nicest people I've ever been around in my life.
Well, I talked to the service manager there.
Joe.
You talk about a nice guy.
Good people. I can't say enough good things. Frederick, I-29, St. Joseph, Missouri, 28 minutes drive north of KCI. That wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We went by fast.
Oh, I enjoyed Dion.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We need to go to 2 hours. Tell the management to go 2 hours.
Talk about a bad hair day.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.